It's good to be here once again as we're here on the first day of the week to study the Word of God, meditate upon it and take it home with us and continue to meditate upon it and be better Christians as we strive to make it to heaven. The parable that I want to talk about, I've been looking at parables. And we know that a parable is a comparison between a familiar fact and a spiritual truth. That's what a parable is. We could say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used parables. He used those parables because he knew that people were familiar with parables, and he used things that people were familiar with. In Luke 15, and open your Bibles, please, to Luke 15, and we're going to read two verses, 9 and 10, of Luke chapter 15. I still want to look at some things here that I think that would help us. Luke chapter 15, 9 and 10. And you could probably remember this. And when she had found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Talking about that coin. "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of heaven, angels of God, over one sinner who repents." If you can remember that the tax collector, some may be reading from the old King James, publicans, I think he's going to say there, the publicans or the tax collectors and sinners drew near to hear Christ. They wanted to hear Christ. Luke 15 and verse 1, you can see there, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear Christ. To hear him. Okay? The publicans are the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes criticized Christ for keeping company with the publicans and the sinners. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating with people who are not Christians. We know this to be true. But we have to remember that we don't let them influence us in no way at all. We have to remember what God's Word says. And that's why we have to meditate upon the Word of God day and night, so we won't forget the Word. Because if we don't meditate upon it, we get careless. And I'll talk some about the carelessness. And we end up letting them pulling us in, and we should be pulling them. And so we find there in Luke 15 and 2, let me read that again. "And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Well, that was all right. Because that's what we should do. The three parables of the 15th chapter of Luke illustrates God's love for sinners. Now, I want to say this, that God, he will always love the sinners. Now, he hates the sin, but he loves the sinners. And he wants the sinners saved. That's why Christ came into the world, to save sinners. Remember, Paul said, "Of whom I'm the chief of the sinners." So he even called himself chief. Paul didn't know. I mean, he did some things ignorantly in unbelief. But he repented. He changed. And that's what it's about. The three parables were, if you remember, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. If you remember that. The three parables compared. The sheep was lost because of its own carelessness. He sure was. The word carelessness means failure to give sufficient attention to avoiding harm or errors. Negligence. Carelessness. And I remember back, several years ago, there were some men, the kind of work that we engaged in, it could be any work, but there were men who lost their lives because they were just careless. Wouldn't follow the safety rules. They even had a film and was showing us some things how people would make fun of the safety rules. They wrote a song, Shake Hands with Danger. Meet the man I used to know. He used to laugh at safety. Now they call him Three Finger Joe. Lost his fingers because he was careless. We have to be very careful and not slip into the realm of carelessness. The coin was lost because of the carelessness of its owner, not paying attention where he put it, I'm sure. He was careless and didn't pay attention where he put the coin. Have you ever lost your keys to your automobile? I'm sure we all have. I know I have. A lot of times that's through carelessness, not focus, not paying attention. I mean, I've done it. I stopped it. I got tired of looking for keys when I'm ready to go somewhere and go to work, and then I'm looking for my keys. So what I do now, I got a key board that I have in the house, and when I come in the house, those keys go on that keyboard. I just don't lay them anywhere, because I could do that, and then I forget where I laid my keys. And it's because of just me being careless. Have you ever been to the mall? And went in the mall and you shopped and you come out of the mall, then you can't find your car, automobile. I'm probably the only one done that. None of y'all never done that before. You go to the grocery store, Kroger's or Walmart, and you go in there and you get your groceries and you come out and you're looking for your vehicle. It was kind of funny to me. Phyllis was with me, and there was a gentleman who was looking for his automobile. He called his wife. I don't know whether he ever called a record or not, but he was looking for his automobile. He said somebody done stole it. He said, somebody stole my automobile. And come find out, Phyllis and I told him, I said, what, and we asked him what color and all of that. He finally told us what it was. I told him, I said, your automobile is back over there. And he went in one door, and you can do that. You got to stay focused. Believe me, I done done it myself. You got to stay focused. If you go to Kroger's, there's two doors. And just remember which door you went in, because when you shopping and maybe you meet somebody there and you're talking, and before you realize, you done got which end you went out or come in. And so you may go out a different that different door, and then you're looking for your automobile. Walmart, like I said, they have numbers there, and the first thing I do now, because I've done that before, the first thing I do when I park is look and see if it's row A, row 10, or whatever. Because here, you're out there looking for your automobile, it's pouring down raining, and you're looking for your automobile. That's not good. And sometimes people tell me, when you lose your automobile, they said, now, I'm going to tell you what that is at just old age. And I've sat in my automobile at times, sitting there with Dastin, him and I were sitting there, and I'm just watching people, and I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at a lot of young people looking for the automobile. I'm laughing up a storm. I said, he done lost his automobile. So it's not just the, sometimes we think it's the older people. That's not true. It's younger people too. And what it is, we ripping and running, and we just not paying any attention, and we lose our automobile. It can happen to anybody. So the corn was lost because of the carelessness of its owner. The carelessness of its owner. The prodigal son was lost because of his own free choice. Freedom is good. Now, freedom in Christ is free to do what's right. Freedom in Christ is never free to do what's wrong. And so the prodigal son was lost because of his own free choice. And God gives us a choice. We can go in the straight and narrow way. We can go in the broad way. That's our choice. But we want to make sure we stay in the straight and narrow way, because transgression, disobeying God, I believe it was in Proverbs, the way of transgressors, that's a hard life to live. And yet what happens to people, they get on a habit of that. A lady that you see people on television, and that meth and drugs and alcohol and all of that, they'll show one picture of them, and you know, before they got on that stuff, and then show another one, they just look awful. I mean, they look awful. That meth will destroy your inside and out. But they didn't know, they did not realize that they would take it that far, but sin will take us further than we want to go. And we, you know, we can talk about sin. I mean, it's just a transgression is all it is. I don't know of anybody who don't transgress. But my point is this, we've got to stay focused. We've got to stay focused. If we don't stay focused, it's just like the people on the secular job, and several of them lost their lives because they wasn't focused. They were careless. Sometimes the mechanics, they say, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. And they want to cut little corners and get killed. And they even say that when you're traveling, most people have accidents about 10 miles or 5 miles away from home. You know why? Because they get relaxed. And they get their focus off. And people seem like people will not learn from the mistakes of others. I've seen a guy yesterday and had his phone right there by the steering wheel, and he passed me. I was doing 75. And I know he was doing 80 or 85, and he was just texting up a storm. Act like nobody was out there but him. Now suppose a deer run across the interstate 65. I suppose he hit some big piece, a tire. You see them all over the place, big tires off of them semis, or recaps they call it. They didn't bust it off. And he's up there texting. He's not looking. He can't see the road. And that big, and then all at once he sees it, then you swerve. Then before you realize, you done flipped over. But people won't learn from the mistakes of others. The lost corn retained its value. She found the lost corn. The lost corn retained its value, but it was out of circulation. When we lose our money, it's out of circulation. See, we have to work on being organized because it's out of circulation. You may find it, but it's out of circulation. One is lost to service when he is out of helpful contact with his fellow man. One may be present at church and yet be lost because his talents, Money, usefulness, and wisdom are used elsewhere. One may be lost in business, domestic life, pleasure, courtship, and so on. He can be too engrossed in such matters of to serve the Lord. Sometimes we're too busy. We can get too busy, and we need to leave a little time for God. I know I do. Everybody does. Leave a little time for God, you know, but we can be real. We can get busy in life, and you would think that all the technology that we have that give us more time. But boy, we just keep choking ourselves, don't we? They say when the computers first came out, they said, oh, it's going to give you more time. Give you more time, and all we do is just keep loading up and loading up and loading up. And then we don't even have time to sleep. You know, I talked about that one time. I don't even have time to sleep. God blesses man with sleep, and we don't even use it. We'll mess it up doing something else. I've done it. He gives the beloved sleep. Now, when we follow the plan of God, when we follow His order, we pretty much gonna live just a good life. But we go against what His order is, you know, we hurt ourselves. We just hurt ourselves. The anxious or the anxiety of the woman over the lost coin. The woman was very anxious about the lost coin. That's why she was looking for that coin. Something that means something to you, you're going to look for it. And like I said, I've done lost stuff before. And it wasn't because somebody, like I said, age, a lot of sometimes it don't have, I mean, it could, but not necessarily. That's true. I put something away and I lost it. And where did I put that? And I tell you what you can do. You can lose a lot of things in your garage. So I went in that garage and cleaned up. I found things that I forgot I had. Need to get organized. The woman was very anxious about the lost coin. The church should be anxious about the lost members. Let's look at 2 Peter 2. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to James 5:19 first. Now, if we don't work on these things, I tell people we won't get any better if we don't work on them. James chapter 5 and verse 19. James chapter 5 and verse 19. The Apostle James, he says here, he says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders, I think the old King James would say error wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. I'm sorry, error from his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. The old King James may say something like hide a multitude of sin. Hide or cover a multitude of sin. In other words, the Lord will overlook and not punish the one who repents. You turn him back, you tell him what he's doing wrong or whatever the case may be. That's a good word. Wander or err from the truth means to wander to one side, according to the comments at chapter 1:16, where it says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. Any of us can wander from the truth. We got to stay focused. That's very important. Got to stay focused. Now, if you would now, and then too, of course, when one wanders from the truth and comes back, God is not going to bring that up at the judgment day. The one that wanders from the truth and don't come back, he's got to meet that at the judgment. Whatever people have done and they repent of that, God is not going to bring that up on them at the judgment day. If that's the case, I don't. Everybody in this world would be he bring it up. You see. So thank God, I tell people, thank God that we have repented. That's why we have obeyed the gospel. We're here. And when we do mess up, we just repent of it. I have 2 Peter 2 and 20. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. God don't want us to leave the faith, but if we do and come back, be happy that you woke up. That's what I tell people. You need to be happy that you changed. 2 Peter 2 and 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're talking about a child of God now. They escaped the pollutions in 2 Peter 2 and 20. They have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to know, we need God's knowledge. And I know in the secular world, we need that knowledge. And you have to get a good knowledge of the things that they want you to, the secular education, I want to say that, knowledge, the secular education. You can't hardly get a job anymore. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of jobs because of the pandemic is that went out. I'm hoping that everything will come back. But my point is this, you have to have the knowledge of the secular world education. I'm not talking about sin now. The secular world, if you don't have that education, you can't get no good job anymore. That's just where it is. Back when I was a young man, there were jobs everywhere. There was so many jobs. One man wrote a song, I believe it's Johnny Paycheck, I believe that was his name. Take this job because I don't want it no more. He knew he could get another job. Take this job, I don't want it no more. He said, don't you stand in that doorway, I'll run over you. You can't do that now. You know what people are saying? I want that job. There were some at the secular job where I worked, the boss would give them a job out of their classification, and they were just testing everybody, giving them a job out of their classification. He tell the employer, was that ain't none of my job. And then they start laying off some people, and then some of them start saying, that's my job. They done me the same way. He gave me a work order way out of my classification. I told him, I said, now so-and-so, you want me to fix this machine, it's out of my classification, but I tell you what I'll do, I'll try. I went over and done my best. He come back in 2 hours, you got that done? No, we'll get you some help. He just tested me. People get anxious, and what they do, they lose their cool, and they blow up. One gentleman said, he told me, and I tried to help him, but he wouldn't listen. He told me, an employee, he said, the next time my supervisor give me a job out of my classification, so I'm turning up at work order, throwing in trash. Guess what? See, as he thinks, so is he. The boss gave him a job, a work order, out of his classification. He tore that paper up and threw it in the trash. Looked at it. walked out the door. Just keep you cool on these jobs, y'all. I'm telling you, keep you cool. They tested me too. They tested me. And they put me in some places that I was very uncomfortable. Remember I told you about the semi deal? I thought he was playing with me. He said, come on out here, Larry, I want to show you something. And I was walking out there. I thought he had something pleasant. He said, you see that semi? I said, yeah. We want you to drive, learn how to drive at. I said, Lord have mercy. I ain't never drove, never been in one that, you know. But guess what? I made it, and I got a CDL. I'm going to let it go back because I'm retired now. I'm letting it go back. I don't want no more of it. Secular work. If we can't make it, we're going to be all right. I ain't going back. So hold your pennies. But my point is this. Sometimes on these secular jobs, you're going to have to do some stuff that you don't like. You'll have to do some stuff that make you feel uncomfortable. But I want to encourage you, just hold your horses, so to speak. And I end up telling them, the men at work, you know, the ball's in your hands. If I'm not doing my job or whatever you think, you can just let me go. I did tell them that. Will you just fire me? Go ahead and let's get this over with. They said, we can't do that. You haven't done anything for us to fire you over. Because I stayed there. And I did what they asked me to do. I couldn't fix the machine because it was way over my head. But I stayed there and retired. So my point is saying all of that to try to help people. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the pollutions of the world has reference, I believe, to just wrongdoing, disobedience. I know it would have to be that. They are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. I'm going to come back to 19 here in a few minutes. For verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Well, let's go back to verse 21 again. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. In other words, they are hardened, have hardened their hearts. They are hard to reach with the gospel. These people who once obeyed the gospel, and they know what the Bible says. Some of them know more Bible than I do. You're not going to get them people back unless they want to come back. I mean, I'm not saying you don't go back and try, but they know more. I've talked to some. They have more scripture than I do in their hearts. They're just not obeying it. And then he talks about there that it's just better, what he said, it's better for them not to even know the way than to know it and then turn from it. And then he gives an example of a sow or a hog returns to his own vomit. I said a hog, that's a dog, isn't it? A mid dog, I don't know where I said the heck of a hog. But anyway, the dog, we're not going to talk too much about that. I think you know the meaning of it. So we'll move on to that. I don't want to make nobody sick. Sow, who you've seen them on television shows and all of that, where they have a sow and they clean it up, put a ribbon around its neck, all cleaned. And when you turn the sow loose, go back to the mud. And he's saying, we don't want to be like that. Okay? I'm going to try to wrap this up if I can here. Now the woman swept the house in search for the coin. The church should sweep the world in quest of lost souls. Our mission is to try to save the souls of men. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody need to try that. I mean, it's just everybody. Sometimes the congregation have large members, and I tell them, well, you better watch that, because according to the population of Bowling Green, all congregations here are small. I mean, that's the way I look at it, because the Bowling Green got a lot of people here. But so everybody in the body of Christ needs the Great Commission, go and teach all nations, everybody. The church should sweep the world in quest of the lost souls. Acts 17 and 6, I'm going to read this here, and we're just going to quit. Acts 17 and verse 6, let's look at this in here. So we never stop trying to convert people. If you done work with some people for a long time, and sometimes they'll tell you that I don't want it. We went door knocking several years ago, and the lady we talked to was a member of the, and I call it like it is, and don't mean to offend people, but she was a member of the Baptist Church. And I was explaining to her that you can't find none of that you talked about in the Bible. Ain't none of it in there. Baptist Church is not in the Bible. Being a Baptist is not in the Bible. And she said, well, you know, I'm okay. Take that to someone who needs it. Never could convince her she was wrong. So, you move on. Acts 17 and verse 6. We find that Paul and Silas escaped, but Jason, you know, they caught him. But let's look at here, Acts 17 and verse 6. But when they did not find them, did not find the apostles of Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city. See, back in, they drag you. You preaching and telling people, or just teaching. You don't have to be no preacher. You just telling people what about Christ. And those people back then, they'd hurt you bad, trying to shut you up. I mean, you can't do that. We be humble, but we got to keep talking. Got to keep teaching, got to keep preaching. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Because of the boldness of the apostles and brethren, they were accused of turning the world upside down. Wouldn't that be good if somebody accused us of doing that? Turning it upside down through the preaching of the gospel. Got a hell of a whole lot of people. Got them to think. And Paul and the apostles had saved and baptized several other people, but there were some that they did not. If you're here not a Christian, well, we all are Christians here. But those who are out there, if you're listening, you're not a Christian, you don't know what you're missing. I mean, there's joy in Christ. There's joy in His church. I wouldn't have it no. I know we go through persecutions, we go through a lot, but I still would not have it no other way. You heard the gospel, need to believe with all your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with Him in baptism. That's the plan of salvation, and it's not going to go away. So if you're going to be saved, you have to follow that plan. If not, you won't be saved. And so you must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And if you have been baptized and obeyed the gospel and slipped away, you can come back. Do that while together we stand and sing. Please come.